Great song. Thank you, Fran. I want you to open your Bibles this morning, please, to the book of Judges, the 17th chapter. Judges, chapter 17, back in your Old Testament. Judges, chapter 17. And I want to read the whole chapter to you. I was reading this earlier in the week, and I know that I've preached on Micah before. I just don't remember when I preached on Micah before. Anybody have it in their Bible when I preached on this? Anybody have it? You know, some of you folks keep tabs on me. You write in the margin of your Bible the date and what sermon I preached. Did anybody have that written down? No? Well, I know I preached on this before. Huh? Was I? Is that where it was? Is that where it was? Okay. Yeah. Maybe so. I don't know. But anyway, I read it and I thought, ooh, I'm going to preach on this. So I'm preaching on it. It's new. It's not an old sermon. It's brand new. So you can pay attention this morning. It's not a rerun. But let's read the whole chapter if we can. I'd like to begin in verse 1 and just read the whole chapter, the 17th chapter. And I want to basically just speak to you this morning on the subject of foolishness of Micah. The foolishness of Micah. And let's read about him and you'll see his folly here in just a moment. In verse 1, the Bible says, "And there was a man of Mount Ephraim whose name was Micah. And he said unto his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, about which thou cursed. Does that sound right to you all? It doesn't sound right to me. I couldn't get it in the first service either. Look at the word. Cursed. Cuss that. All right, let's just say that. And spakest of also in mine ears, behold, now listen carefully to what he's saying here. Behold, the silver is with me. I took it." So here, this woman's got 1,100 shekels of silver. It's gone. She gets all upset about it. She pronounces a curse upon the person that stole it. Then he comes back and says, "Mom, I did it." And she says, "Blessed be thou the Lord, my son." This kid is spoiled rotten, folks. That's the point. Do you see it? This kid is just spoiled rotten. He needs a good thrashing. And yet she says, "Oh, blessed be thou the Lord, my son." And when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, "I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from the hand of my son to make a graven image and a molten image. Now, therefore, I will restore it unto thee." So she gets the money back and she goes out and spends it making idols so she can give the idols to her son. This kid's spoiled rotten. Verse 4. Yet he restored the money unto his mother, and his mother took 200 shekels of silver, gave them to the founder, who made thereof a graven image and a molten image, and they were in the house of Micah. And the man Micah had a house of gods, and made an ephod and a teraphim, and consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. In those days, there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And there was a young man out of Bethlehem, Judah, of the family of Judah, who was a Levite, and he sojourned there. And the man departed out of the city of Bethlehem, Judah, to sojourn where he could find a place. And he came to Mount Ephraim, to the house of Micah, as he journeyed. And Micah said unto him, "Whence comest thou?" And he said unto him, "I am a Levite of Bethlehem, Judah, and I go to sojourn where I may find a place." And Micah said unto him, "Dwell with me, and be unto me a father and a priest, and I will give thee 10 shekels of silver by the year." I guess he's going to steal them off his mother to pay. I don't know. "But I will give thee 10 shekels of silver a year, and a suit of apparel, and thy victuals." We've shortened that to victuals. That's food. "And thy..." So he was going to get food, housing, everything. So the Levite went in. And the Levite was content to dwell with the man, and the young man was unto him as one of his sons. And Micah consecrated the Levite, and the young man became his priest and was in the house of Micah. Then said Micah, now I know that the Lord, notice that, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Jehovah, Jehovah God. Now I know that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest. Foolish young man. I want to speak to you this morning on the foolishness of Micah. Let's pray together and ask the Lord to bless us. Now, Father, I pray that you'll bless the preaching of the Word of God this morning. Lord, I do not know the needs of every person in this room, but Lord, you do. And I want to thank you, Father, for the way that you used the message in the first service and how it met all kinds of different needs, as people told me later after the service. And Lord, I do not know what the needs are here in this congregation, but Lord, you do. And so I pray that you will just apply the Word of God to every heart. Lord, help us to see the truth of this passage of Scripture and understand the message that you're trying to get us to see. Fill me with your Spirit, Father. I need your help as I preach this morning. And Father, I pray if there's someone that's not saved, may they see their need of the Lord Jesus Christ today. May they come and let us take a Bible and pray with them and show them how they can know they're going to heaven. So Lord, just bless us now and we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Anarchy is reigning all over Israel during the period of the judges. This is an amazing book. It's kind of a transitional book. And it is right before the choosing of Saul to be king in Israel. So there is no monarchy in Israel right now. The idea is that Israel was to be under a theocracy, that God was to be calling the shots and running the nation. And anarchy, though, is reigning all across Israel. And the reason is because the people did not want God telling them what to do. There was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. The problem was, God was to be their king, and they didn't want God telling them what to do, so every man became his own deity, every man became his own god, and they just did what they wanted to do. In the book of Judges, we find a perfect example of what men will do when left to themselves without government, without law, without discipline, and especially without God. As you get to the end of this tremendous book, there you find the little phrase mentioned several times that you find in verse 6. In those days, there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. In other words, everybody became his own king. And everyone knows that the king has the final say. The king has the final authority. His word is the law of the land. And so every person was their own king. So whatever anybody said, well, that's just the way it was. And there was no law. There was no government. There was no way to identify what was right and what was wrong. So every man just did that which was right in his own eyes. Oh, how far Israel had wandered and strayed away from God. Well, when you get to this 17th chapter, we find here the story of a fellow by the name of Micah. I want you to notice in verse 4 and 5, the Bible reveals some things about him. We learn that he was by trade a maker of false gods. He was a man that made idols. We also learn that he, in verse 5 and 6, verse 4 and 5, he built his own house of worship. He had his own little temple, his own little church, if you will. He made his own ephod. An ephod was the garment that the high priest wore. The ephod was just a vest that went across the chest and back, a sleeveless thing that went across the chest and back of the high priest, and it identified him, had the stones of the 12 tribes on it, and then identified him as being the high priest. and Micah made an ephod so that he could have his own high priest. Then he appointed a high priest, and he appointed his own son to be his personal high priest and intercessor to God. Now, isn't all this convenient? I mean, the man decides he's just going to build his own religion, complete with his own church, complete with his own high priest, complete with his own idols. I mean, he just designs the whole thing and says, I'm just going to do all this myself. And I'm going to worship God. But I want you to notice in the sixth verse, after Micah, we get the description of Micah and building his own images and building his own church and building his own ephod and getting his own high priest. Immediately in the very next verse, after describing all of this information about Micah, God immediately explains and says, in those days, there was no king in the land. And every man did that which was right in his own eyes. God lets us know right off the bat that what Micah was doing, creating his own religion, creating his own way to God, God lets us know it was not right. It was not right. Folks, we have no right to do things our way. We have a Bible here that tells us how to do things God's way, and God intends for us to follow His Word and not just create our own device in order to get to heaven. God lets us know it was wrong. That's clear. Man-made religion will never work. We have no explanation as to why Micah thought all this was all right to do, other than in the statement in verse 6, that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. The only explanation is that Micah had the wrong king on the throne of his heart. Men will do all kinds of strange things when the wrong king is on the throne of their hearts. But now, wait a minute. There's something else I want you to see. As I read this chapter, I thought, wow, as wrong as Micah was, he was nonetheless a very sincere individual. I read this chapter, and then I went back and I read it again, and then I read it again, and then I read it again, and I was looking for something. I was just trying to find something that would discredit his sincerity, and I couldn't find it. Every time I read it, it was just driven into my heart. This man was sincere. Oh, he's sincerely wrong, but he's sincere. And look at verse 13. After he hired himself a real live Levite to be his priest, he said, now I know the Lord will do good to me. The Lord's going to do me good now. And the more I studied this, the more I was convinced that Micah was just as sincere a person as he could possibly be. Folks, listen, can I remind you that sincerity does not count in your relationship with God? I remind you, Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You say, well, don't you think a person ought to be sincere? I think they ought to be sincerely right. I think they ought to be sincerely right. And not create their own religion like Micah did. But I'm telling you, this man was as sincere as he can be. Hey, folks, listen to me. Those Muslims are sincere. You Jehovah's false witnesses are sincere. The Mormons are sincere. The Buddhists are sincere. Sincerity has nothing to do with it. Truth is how you measure your relationship to God. The truth has to be figured into the equation. Now, let's look at the life of Micah here. Let's look first of all at his religion. Let's look at his religion. Think about it. What is religion? What is it? I did some thinking about it this week, and I did some checking on it. And it is such a profound sounding word. We almost stand a little taller when we say religion. You know, we get our preacher voice, our spiritual voice, religion. Just the very nature of the word. Oh, he's a very religious person. What is religion? I did some checking on it. Our English word, religion, comes from the Latin root meaning to bind anew. To bind anew. Any of you ever tear a ligament? What does a ligament do? It binds your muscles. It holds your muscles together. And you tear a ligament, and oh, your muscles go haywire when you do that. To bind anew, it's what the word means. Ligio means to bind in Latin, and the word seems originally to have signified an oath or a vow to the god, or an obligation of such an oath or vow, which was very sacred to the Romans. Someone has said that there is a world of difference between religion and Christianity. Religion is man reaching up to God, but Christianity is God reaching down to man. There's a world of difference between the two. There is a lot of religion upon this planet. Hey, folks, I want you to know that when Cain brought the first fruits of his garden to God, that was the introduction of religion to the world. That's not what God wanted. God wanted the sacrifice of an offering. God wanted the blood of a lamb, and he taught Adam and Eve that in the garden when they sinned, and God took a lamb and substituted it on their behalf. The point was that Adam was to teach Cain. Cain knew that he was supposed to bring blood, but he refused to do it. And when he said, I'm not going to do what God wants, I'm going to do what I want, God rejected his offering. Why? Because it was religious. That's why. God said, you don't come to me on your terms. You come to me on my terms. And God clearly spells out his terms in the book. So Christianity is a whole lot different from religion. Religion binds a bunch of rules and laws and cans and can'ts and do's and don'ts and says, here, God, here is our attempt to reach you. But Christianity is God saying, here, man, here is me reaching down to you and helping you be able to reach me. There's a world of difference between religion and Christianity. And over the process of time, religions all over the world have placed their binding grip upon the hearts of people in man's effort to reach out to God. Now, folks, I want you to understand something about Micah's religion. His religion was of his own design. You look at your Bible here. All these things were created and made by Micah for Micah. They were made by him and for him in verse 4 and 5. He had his own idols made. He had them molded and fashioned after his own design. The robe, the ephod, was made by him. The high priest was chosen by him. The teraphims, which were Syrian idols, were made by him. And the appointment of his own son to be his personal high priest was done by him. The point is, folks, Micah's approach to God was of his own design. That's why it wasn't any good. That's what makes religion such a dangerous thing. Whenever man starts to go away from the Bible and starts to create his own way to God, to create his own religion, problems are sure to follow. And I want you to notice how quickly God tells us that Micah's religion was just dead wrong. In the very next verse, in the sixth verse, God just jumps right in there and says, wait a minute. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. This wasn't right. You don't create your own religion and come to God. You'll never get there. You'll never get there. There's something else I want you to see. Look at your Bible. Micah's religion removed the Lord from the picture. Removed the Lord from the picture. Remember that this is before Samuel and the appointment of Saul as Israel's first king. During the period of the judges, Israel was under an economy where Jehovah God was to be their king. So there was no king in Israel. Why? Because there was no God in Israel. That's why they had kicked God out. There was no king in Israel because they had kicked the king off his throne. They said, we don't want you here. Brethren, when you won't recognize God, the end result is that every man's going to do what is right in his own eyes. That's where we are in America today. This is exactly where we are in our country today. You see, this is what's wrong with our society today. We've kicked God out. We've kicked God out of our schools, and that's why our schools are in the mess they're in. I got in an argument with a liberal here just a week or so ago, a couple weeks ago now. I got in an argument with some liberal over, and they said, we just need more money for the school system. I said, good night. How much is it going to take? How much money? And I asked him, I said, you tell me, how much money is it going to take to fix the school system? Well, I don't know, but an awful lot. I said, you ain't got enough money in Fort Knox to fix the school system. Because money is not what's wrong with it. This is what's wrong with it. They kicked God out of schools. They kicked God out. What's wrong with our schools? What's wrong with our court system? We've thrown God out. What's wrong with our government today? We've thrown God out. What's wrong with our churches today? We've thrown God out. That's what's wrong with them. We've told God He's no longer welcome. Take His book and change it and mess with it and change the words and take His name out and take Jesus' name out and take the virgin birth out and take the blood out, and then we wonder why God's not blessing our church. And once God's out of the picture, every man does that which is right in his own eyes. That's why you can have rock and roll music in churches today. Kick God out, just move rock and roll in. But you can't have rock and roll and have this book. They don't mix. What do you think about that? Christian rock. Think about that. Is that a misnomer? If it's rock, it's not Christian. And if it's Christian, it's not rock. They just don't go together. They don't make sense, folks. You say, well, I just don't understand why our society is in the condition it's in. I tell you. Right here's the problem. We have taken the book and thrown it out the door along with the God that we kicked out a long time ago. And then when you do that, anything goes. Just let come what may. And how could anything that, I mean, suppose that you throw God out, you throw the Bible out, and then you do this, you do that, you do this, you do that, and somebody comes and says, I don't think we should have done that. Well, why not? Why not? We've done this. We've come this far. Folks, our society's in a bad condition because we have thrown God out of our society. This is why liberal judges and liberal politicians can approve, sanction, and vote for killing babies. That's why liberal politicians and judges can vote for and sanction and approve letting queers get married to each other. This is why elected officials and politicians and liberal judges, this is why we can elect an elected official to the highest office in the land stay in office even after he lied to a federal grand jury. I mean the highest office in the land, and we can just turn our heads and let it go because every man is his own God now. And everybody just does that which is right in his own eyes. This is why you can put a war protester with the most liberal voting record in the United States Senate on the ballot for president of the United States. Because there is no God in America anymore. We've turned our backs on Him. Folks, I'm telling you, you better register to vote and you better get out there and vote. You better, because I'm telling you, if they get the power back, they're going to shut us down. Now, that day is coming. It's already, it's in the plan, it's in the works, it's in the forecast. They're looking down the road. They say, we want to shut those fundamental preachers up. We're tired of hearing what they have to say. And when we stood up and fought and prayed and rallied our troops and got everybody out that last election, and they lost the authority, they lost the power, the war was on. And they're after us. There was nothing they liked more than to take this book out of my hands and say, you can't preach this book anymore.
You better get out and vote. You better get out. You better get registered. You remove God and you get God out of your way, and then you become God yourself, and you can do and say as you please. You can just have your own way. Folks, we better stay by the stuff. But now, wait a minute. As I read this, I noticed something else. There is no atheism here on Micah's part. Do you notice that? There's no atheism here on his part. You know, somebody stands up and says, I'm an atheist, I don't believe God. Well, you just brand him a nut, you turn around and walk away. It's no big deal. But there's no atheism here on this. But I want you to know what you see in this chapter is really worse than atheism. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, now listen, don't get me wrong. What Micah did here is awful. But there is no atheism here. We do not see Micah renouncing God. But I do want you to understand there is a heresy here that is worse than atheism. And there is something that is really in and of itself worse than atheism. You say, Pastor, what in the world could that be? It is keeping God around as a sign, not giving Him full worship, glory, and dedication. It's like Paul said, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And this is what has happened all over our great nation to multitudes of churches that used to uphold and proclaim the gospel of Christ. Folks, let me tell you something. Listen to me now. A liberal never built anything. They don't build anything. All they do is take over what somebody else has built and then they destroy it. But they never build anything. They don't have the power to build anything. Years ago, religious liberals, 100 years or so ago, religious liberals came over here from Europe and they couldn't build anything, so they went to work in established churches and they destroyed them. They destroyed them. That's what happened to denominationalism in America today. Liberals came over here, started teaching in our seminaries. They had to teach. They couldn't preach. They didn't believe the Bible. How can you preach if you don't believe the Bible? And so what did they do? They joined our colleges and our seminaries and turned our seminaries into cemeteries, denying the truth. And it didn't take but 4 years before these liberals started tearing down the faith of our preacher boys. They ripped apart their Bibles and they mocked all the teaching that they were given as children and teenagers in their churches. And these liberals created new liberals who then went out to pastor churches and all they did was destroy the church in America. And now after turning their backs on the truth of God's Word for all these years, there are millions of people that gather in their church buildings this morning. And they have their pastors or their pastorettes, whichever the case may be. They have their pastors or their pastorettes. They have their singing. It's not what it used to be. Now it's the same thing you get on VH1 or MTV. But they have their singing. They have their motion and sometimes even their emotion. Just like Micah, they will go through the motions of some kind of religion. But the question is, where's the power? Where's the truth? I'm not going to tell you who it was, but one of our church members came to me recently and said, Pastor, we had to go to our families for a certain activity. And we went to and they told me the church that they went to, big denominational church. And I said, oh yeah. I said, how was that? And they said, oh my goodness. I said, really? They said, oh my goodness. I said, boy, we jammed for Jesus for about 30 minutes. Swinging and swaying and rocking and working into a fevered pitch. And then when it was all said and done, then the Reverendette got up and started to preach. Woman preacher. Said she started to preach. And said she just preached her little heart out. And I sat there and thought, okay, where's the truth? Where's the gospel? Where's the Bible? And I said, oh, so you noticed the difference. Oh, yeah. I said, amen. We should notice the difference.
We should notice the difference. Second thing I want you to see,
Micah's way.
We looked at his religion, but now secondly, Micah's way did not satisfy his soul. Hey folks, religion does not satisfy. It just doesn't satisfy. Religion does not satisfy. He had this full, impressive, elaborate system of religion, but it did not satisfy him. The Levite came walking by, and in verse 7, the Levite came walking by, and what did he do? He hired him. Man, I can hear him now, can't you? He hires him. The guy says, yeah, okay, I'll come to work for you. You're going to pay me all that money? Sure, I'll be your priest. And then he turns around, he walks away, and he rubs his hands together, and he says, hot dog, God's really going to be good to me now. I got me a real priest. I got me a real priest now. This guy's from Bethlehem of Judea. That's where the Messiah is supposed to be from. This guy is a Levite, man. He's the real thing. And so he gets the ephod, and he gets the idols, and he gives them all to him, and now he's got his own high priest. Well, la-ti-da. Ain't he something? In verse 13, he said, I know God's going to bless me now. Folks, let me tell you something. Religion is never going to satisfy your soul. The only thing that's going to satisfy your soul is to come to God God's way. No religion is going to satisfy you. God will only satisfy your soul when you come to Him on His terms. I know people that believe it. You know, well, I make my monthly visit to the house of God and everything's okay. I know other folks that have said that, you know, if they could just join the church and get them in God's good graces, everything will be all right. I know others that think just an occasional display of religion is all they need and then they can just whoop it up the rest of the time. But I'm telling you, folks, the only way to find true satisfaction for your soul is to come to God on His terms, and God's terms is that we come to Him by faith, in His only begotten Son. Nothing in my hands I bring, only to the cross I cling. In verse 13, he thought for sure he would impress God now. But look again in chapter 18 and verse 1, and really it's just a continuation of the story, although it divides the chapter there. But in chapter 18 and verse 1, we have again repeated, in those days there was no king in Israel. We're just reminded. Now, this God's not impressed. God's not impressed. We're reminded that there was no, that by God, that there was no king in the land. I'm saying the only thing that will satisfy your soul is for you to come to God God's way. And God's way is by faith in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb. Your way may crumble, but God's way is always the same. Let me show you what happened to Micah. Look at chapter 18, verse 19. Chapter 18, verse 19. The story just continues on. And there's a bunch of guys from the tribe of Dan came through the area. And when they got to the house of Micah, in verse 19, they ran into Micah's high priest. And verse 19 said, and they said unto him, hold thy peace, lay thine hand upon thy mouth, and go with us. And be to us a father and a priest. Is it better for thee to be a priest unto the house of one man, or that thou be a priest unto a tribe and a family in Israel? And the priest, this is Micah's priest, and the priest's heart was glad. And he took the ephod. Wait a minute, whose ephod was this? It was Micah's. And the priest stole the ephod and left with it. And he took the ephod and the teraphim. Wait a minute. Whose teraphim were those? They were Micah's. And he stole Micah's teraphims. Read on. It says, and the graven image. And went in the midst of the people. So they turned and departed. Folks, what's Micah going to do now? He trusted in that which changes. And it changed on him. Now what's he going to do? And just think about it. Micah's priest left, deserted him. Who are you going to trust now? The person in which he trusted failed him. Let me ask you, dear friend,
What are you putting your trust in today? You putting your trust in your church? I tell you, I love Church the Open Door, but this church can't save you. There's not a person in this building that this church can save. What are you trusting? What are you trusting to get you to heaven? Where's your faith? You better not put your faith in me. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace, just like you. You better not put your faith in your baptism. You better not put your faith in your good works. You say, well, Pastor, who in the world am I going to trust? I'm so glad you asked. God said, you're to trust Jesus. He's the one that came and gave His life on Calvary's cross. You see, the difference between religion and Christianity. Religion is you doing something down here. You doing something to say, here, God, aren't you impressed? And God says, no, all of your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. There's not one thing you do that impresses me. We're sinners. We've all gone out of the way. We're all just open sepulchers. There is nothing good in any of us. Christianity is God looking down and seeing a bunch of old sinners that don't have the ability to save themselves, can't save themselves. They're dead in trespasses and sin. And God says here, let me save your soul. And God sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That's the difference, dear friend. That's the difference. I tell you, there is one you can put your full trust in. There is one you can put your full faith in. I can tell you one person you can put your faith and trust in for salvation. And the good news is, He's never going to die. He's never going to move away. He's never going to fall into sin. He's never going to lie. He's never going to fail you. He's never going to forsake you. And praise the Lord, He's never going to change on you. Why don't you just trust Jesus? You'll find that'll get you a whole lot further than trusting some old church somewhere. I went down several months ago, went down to Parkersburg, West Virginia, and drove out 70 and out 68 and down 79 and got on 50 in Clarksburg Fairmont or somewhere, Clarksburg, and started out towards the Ohio River on 50. And I went out through there, and there was this church sitting on the side of the road. And it had a big board across the door, and it was nailed. Church was shut. It was closed. Folks, listen, if Jesus tarries His coming, there may be a day when this church is closed. The liberals may take over. They may get voted in. They may get voted in. They may pass a law that says you can't preach on homosexuals anymore. You can't offend women anymore. That's hate speech. And if you preach hate speech, we're going to shut you down. And I know, I've told you, I know what's going to happen. As soon as they pass that law, the next Sunday, there's going to be a hate speech going on in this church. There will be. As soon as that law is passed, you can't say anything against homosexuals, the next Sunday morning sermon is going to be what the Bible says about homosexuality. I'll guarantee it. I won't be able to contain myself. Front page of the newspaper. Hate crime committed. Church the Open Door, 550 Baltimore Boulevard. I know what's going to be. And they may say, that's it, you're done. Who are you going to trust then? Who are you going to trust then? Folks, I'm going to tell you something. You better put your faith in that which does not change. Hey, I may grab my heart up here one of these days and keel over. I'm not planning on doing that, but it could happen. Who are you going to trust then? Well, the pastor's not here. Well, what are we going to do now? Pastor's not here. Don't put your faith and trust in me. You put your faith and trust in the one that does not change. You see, the devil's wanting you to be a religionist. Don't put your faith in religion. Put your faith in the Savior. Put your faith in Jesus. Now, dear friend, let me ask you, what are you trusting in today? Is your trust in a church somewhere? Is it in your baptism? Is it in some denomination? If so, you're a carbon copy of Micah. Just a carbon copy. And one day you're going to wake up and you're going to see, just like Micah found, it's all gone. It's all gone. You may wake up one day and realize that you have nothing upon which to stand. But if you put your faith and trust in the Lord, you can stand on that for as long as eternity shall roll. I remind you, Jesus said of Himself, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no man, that means no man, cometh unto the Father but by me. Are you coming the right way? Here's old Micah. He's a religionist. And in those days there was no king in the land. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And he stood there and he thought, I'm just as good as anybody else. What he should have thought is, I'm just as lost as anybody else. And that's what every one of us ought to think. Where's your faith this morning? Folks, put your faith in Jesus. Put your faith in Christ. And quit being a religionist. The foolishness of Micah. What made him a fool? He followed religion instead of Jesus. Bow your heads with me, please.